Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. Well, it is Celebration Sunday, and our word for this year has been harvest. Everyone reach one. It's been our prayer, and I know your prayer, that this year you had an opportunity to share your faith with somebody. And we want to share a couple of those harvest stories with you to show you how God is moving. I want to invite my friend Kirk to come. Kirk Donathan, will you give him some love as he comes? So you're going to hear a little of his journey and his story today. They got some chairs. We're going to sit down, my friend. How about this jacket he's got on? That's next level. Thank you, buddy. That's a little close. I don't want to sit that close to him. Okay. There we go. Okay. Sit down, man. Kirk doesn't normally dress like this, so he showed up today. I was like, wow, man, that's looking good.
I don't normally do things like this.
You don't normally do things like this. So I don't even know where to start with this story. Some of you might be familiar with this story. If you're brand new to Core Church, my name's Brad. I'm the lead pastor, and this is my good friend Kirk. So I guess where we would start is we talk about here at Core Church about people need Jesus. That you see people each and every day, and they look okay, and they put on a smile. Everything looks great, but deep inside, they're hurting. And behind that smile is a lot of brokenness, and you gotta look past the smile and literally see into people's soul. And the only way you can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit using you in that way. And so, one of the things we talk about over and over again is prayer, care, share. You say that with me: prayer, care, share. You know how we do this. We say, hey, you know, we're going to be committed to praying for people that don't know Jesus, and then we're going to look for opportunities to care. I mean, to really love them well, to show them the love of Jesus in a tangible way, not because they're a project, but because they're a fellow human being, because they're a person, because they're deserving of love in the same way that we were. You were all loved into the kingdom. Did you know that? You were loved into the kingdom by somebody. And then when the opportunity presents itself, we say, share the hope that you found in Jesus. And so let's back this train up a little bit, because that's something I own in my life personally. It's been a part of my journey for decades now of just doing that. And so on one of my prayer cards was this guy, Kirk. And man, praying for him. How long has it been? How many years?
Eight years?
Eight. Okay, so it's been 8 years now. I started showing up at what was called Hercules, now called Shamrock. Tell everybody what you do at, the reason I'm giving a hard time about the coat, because he's normally not dressed as that. Tell everybody what you do.
I run an auto repair shop, tire shop, in Broken Arrow.
If you need auto repair, this is the guy to go see. This is a free plug. There's some satisfied customers.
There's probably some other unsatisfied customers.
So I've been going there, though, for years. Actually, your brother used to run the shop. That's when I started going to there. And then you took over. And I don't know, it was one day I walked in. I don't know what was wrong with my car. There's always something wrong with my cars.
Everything.
You actually told me at one point, you just said,
yeah, get rid of this thing.
Get something new. But I was there, and I'd been praying for Kirk. I'd walk in the tire shop, I'd pray. I'd walk out, I'd pray for you. Every morning, kneeling by my couch, pray for you. And then one time when I was in there, I was just getting my car fixed. God said, I want you to start coming once a month and just having breakfast with Kirk. I don't know how the Holy Spirit speaks to you, but that was the impression that I got. And so I did, started showing up. How long we did that? 5 or 6, 7 years? Long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
You got to hold the mic up so they can hear you.
Long time.
Yeah. So, but through that, a friendship developed. I mean, you just became my friend. Now talk about this, because when we were first just hanging out, but then every once in a while, the guys would go out into the shop and just be you and me, and you go, I got a question. Talk to me about how God was working on you in that season.
At the very beginning, it was a little bit confusing for me because
you have to hold that up a little closer.
Because I was I was just unsure of what to believe. What, you know, there's so many different people read the Bible and they'll give you this explanation and this guy will tell you something different. I just didn't want to be led astray. But before I get all started, I had an angel on my side. And she's been with me since fifth grade. She's sitting right out there. Her name's Amy Smith, Amy Scott.
Where's Amy Stand at?
Up. Stand up.
Stand up, Amy. Stand up. Yeah. Tell us about Amy.
Might cry if I talk about her.
It's okay.
She's known me and my brother since the fifth grade, and she has been praying for us probably since the fifth grade.
Wow.
I know her whole family. I know her husband. But she has never left our side and prayed for us and loved us unconditionally.
You know what I love about you saying that is, by the way, he is an identical twin brother.
He's out there too. Make him stand up.
Stand up, Kevin. Stand up, man.
Come on.
Come on. Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
He's the reason I started going there in the first place. This is what I want to pause on this for just a second is it's important for you to know you're not the only one praying, by the way. You're not the only one praying for that person. There's other people that are praying. And most of the time, the people that are praying is that someone will come into their life and be a part of that. So you were surrounded by prayer.
Yeah. I would come in here to church and I hear Buddy preach his prayer about the 12 steps. And I was doing that the week before he preached it. The next week, Eric got up here and talked about finding your people or your 12 or whatever it was, what number it was. And I was doing that the week before that sermon. And
talk to us, though, about like your journey of, so you and I are having breakfast. What was it that, do you remember how God started stirring in you? Like, started this awakening in you? Because you were raised in church, right?
Right.
Yeah.
The feeling of worthlessness, honestly.
Wow.
The feeling of shame and of not accomplishing things that I felt like I should at my age, or just feeling like I'm just a warm body with some blood running through it.
That's unbelievable, because anybody who's ever been in the shop, you're the happiest person. You always have a smile. You're always up. You're always full of energy. But inside, that was what was going on.
Yeah, I mean, that was my job. That's my job. I can get up and do, I can work. That's one thing I'm good at. I can work.
So what compelled you?
You. You kept asking me. And I honestly, out of respect and love for you as a person, I kept telling myself, I need to go to his church. I need to go listen to him. And then I'd wake up Sunday and I'm not going. And then one day I did.
What's funny is then I show up at the shop and you'd go, I almost came last week. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, God's going to get him.
Yeah. So one Sunday I came and I just kept coming. I missed quite a few here and there for the first year. I wouldn't say I was here consistently, maybe made it to half of them. And then just listening and the people here in this congregation, talking to people, noticing that you're not the only one, there's other people here, and being around some people that truly love each other for just being here is what made me keep on coming.
And then one Sunday, we asked for those who wanted to receive Christ and rededicate their lives and things like that. You responded to that. Talk to us about that moment.
That was the week Eric did a sermon.
I was out of town. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Well, I waited for you to get back for your baptism.
You don't have to wait to get saved. You get saved anytime you want, man. That's good with me.
You came in that was after this. It just spoke to me. Those last 2 weeks where Buddy preached, and then when Eric got up, it was everything that was my journey right then. And I thought, well, this next step has to be the baptism, but I'll wait for you to get back. And you came into the shop one day, and I said something as you were walking out, and you said just what you said last week was, you don't have to be fixed to have a baptism. I mean, what are you waiting on? And so I still
remember that conversation because Kirk was walking out, and he's like, I want to get baptized. But I'm just waiting to get, you know, I got to get some stuff right.
And yeah, and still
like,
waiting.
What are you doing, man? That's not how it works. Yeah. Yeah. Got to get cleaned up, and then I'm going to take a bath. Makes no sense to do that, you know? Yeah. And I said, and I did. I said, we had become such good friends. I was just like, what are you waiting on, man?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then that day came. I think, do we have the video of, I just want to be able to, so this is, that's his baptism right there. Man, what, come on, we can celebrate that. What a moment. There's nothing better I can tell you than when you are in that baptistry with your friend and you take your friend under that water and you bring your friend up to new life. Somebody you've been praying for, that you love, that you want nothing but good for. And I have just seen this radical change in you that only God could do. Talk to us for a moment about this radical shift of shame and all these things and your life changing.
Yeah, my days are completely different when I wake up. They're completely different when I walk out the door. I have different weapons to use instead of my own brain, which is what gets you in trouble 99% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, they're just different. I see people differently. I mean, and like I said to you last week, he's still working on me. I've got a long way to go because I...
Yeah, your friends would say that too. Yeah. You too. guys in the shop, God's still working on him.
Right, that's right. And he's still working on me. And I just have to be patient and continue doing the things that I'm doing.
Talk to us, though, about your passion for the Word, your love for the Word of God.
Yeah, it's the one thing that in my shop, I've never done this before until the baptism and the reconfirmation, but I'll be listening to somebody talk, and they will say something, or I'll feel something about them, and I'll go talk to them about Jesus for a little bit. And it never fails. The one thing that I tell every single person, just read the Bible. Just read a little bit. Just read a page a day. You don't even have to understand it. I can't explain it. But if I go read that Bible, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what's on my mind or in my heart, I am at peace within minutes. Wow. And that's one thing I never did in my entire life was read the Bible like I have been. And like I said, I can't explain it. But I won't stop it because it fixes every single thing.
Isn't that true? Like, it does. Like, I love that you're saying... I may not understand it. You and I have had many conversations, too, about that. The good thing is when you have friends or you get into a small group, because I know you're in a small group now surrounded by people, that's where you can ask those questions like, hey, I was reading this. I have no clue what this means. I can't do that. That's very awkward in a small group for me to say that. Like, you're supposed to know, Pastor. But it's even if you don't understand it, the Word of God is being deposited into you and will bring forth a harvest in its season. Man, thank you, my friend, for sharing. I'm so excited for you. Can we give some love for my friend Kirk? Come on. Man, what a year it has been, and we want to continue celebrating what God has done this year. We want to tell another one of these harvest stories. Will you give some love to Katie Batista? Come on, give Katie some love today. Thank you for your willingness to share today. So this journey for you started earlier this year. Well, no, it didn't. It's how many years ago? How long have you, and I'll tell about Megan here in just a second. How long have you, Megan, been neighbors?
Since the end of 2016. And we realized that we've really been kind of more friends since 2018. So it's been 6 years.
So it's, and you've, okay, so it's about 6 years. And then you walked through the doors of Core Church. When was that?
That was a year ago today.
Wow, a year ago today. Come on. So one of the things that I've known, I knew Katie, I've known you longer than you've known me, and let me explain what I mean by that, because in most of our small groups, we do something called Win, Witness, Word. when those of you that are in small groups that do this, you know that we celebrate the good things that God has been doing. If all you do in your groups and all you do in your personal life is give God prayer requests, it'll feel like he never answers a single prayer if you don't ever give him praise for what he's done. So in our groups, we do this thing called when. You go around, share the good things that God has been doing. The word is where we share, like, where are you reading in the word, like Kirk talked about, like, what has he been reading, how's God been speaking to you? But the middle of that is this thing called witness, because we believe in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And so we talk about prayer, care, and share. What many of you that are in small groups that are practicing this, which you may not know, is we started that actually as a staff. That's where it first started in about 2016. And Megan Spears, is Megan in the room? Megan's all the way in the back. Most of you know Megan, but Megan's all the way in the back. So Megan, she actually kind of led the way for the staff because she just started loving her neighbors like nobody's business. And we started just kind of gravitating to that and watching that. And your name would come up. And we as a staff would pray over you in your life. But before you came, your son came. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, he was very lost. We were just living life. Behind the scenes, he just didn't know where he belonged. It was probably 4 years ago. He just, most of you know Roman, some of you don't, that's okay. He left yesterday, so to go back. Yeah, that's why he's not here today. Right?
Front row said boo.
He had a day that he just was questioning everything in life. I mean, why he was here. And that day, Piper had come over to the house to play with Julian, and so I went
outside. That's Megan's daughter,
yeah.
Those you don't know.
Yes. And I went outside and talked to Megan. She had just come back from, I believe that was the day she just come back from a funeral, and I met her in the yard, and some of our biggest breakthroughs happen in our front yards, by the way. So, but perks of having your best friend live across the street from you. But she brought her whole family out, and we just prayed for Roman. Broad daylight, cars driving by. I wasn't attending church. I didn't know where my walk was with Jesus. I didn't know. And then about 3 years later.
Can we pause on that for a second?
Yeah.
So, I know you grew up in church and you were on fire for the Lord, and then in your teenage years went away from the Lord. But you're not going to church. You're not even talking, and your neighbor is praying with you. Were you open to, this is a dumb question, but I want to ask it anyway, because I think we all need to hear this. As a neighbor, were you open to somebody praying for you and praying for your son?
I look back and I say yes. I don't think she really gave me a choice back then, because she was like, we're going to pray, and she brought the whole family out. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. Like, oh my God, there are cars driving by.
I love it.
Of course, you know, me not understanding it fully, I was like, what are people going to think? I look at that, and I mean, earlier this year, we prayed in my front yard, and I didn't care. I was like, who's going to walk by and see? I hope everybody hears it.
Yeah.
So.
And look at the damage it did. Look at the damage it did. I mean, man.
It's so
train
bad.
Train wrecked the whole thing. When God calls you to pray, step out and pray. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody that's not a follower of Jesus and said, hey, can I pray for you right now? Raise your hand if you prayed for somebody. Yeah. That's awesome. Way to go. And so, and what was funny is then all of a sudden I started to know Roman. And I didn't know Roman. I'd never met him. But every week we'd come and she'd talk about that relationship. And then Roman walks, he actually shows up for Kids Fest, right? Mm-hmm. And he was one of our volunteers. So he shows up to volunteer, doesn't realize that he's surrounded by people that are just, I mean, we just want to see him come to know Jesus. And it was shortly after that. I mean, he said he was an atheist at that time, correct?
Yeah, he was.
And so then he gives his life to Jesus.
Yep.
Does he come home and tell you about that? Like, how did you find out about?
So I found out that he was getting baptized by Megan. He's not a very public person.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that he was doing for anybody else, he told me. I was like, because when I found out, I said, do you want me to come? Like, do you want us to be there? And he said, it's really up to you. He said, this is between me and God. So it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter if he has people in the crowd, is what he kind of meant. He was like, this is something that personal that I know I'm doing for my relationship with God.
Wow.
So I look back and I wish I would have, but I didn't. So yeah. I know it's in God's plan why I didn't, but.
But that's part of the journey. And so often we can just give up on people. Like, I know that when he was getting baptized, and whenever someone gets baptized, if you're in that circle of somebody who's getting baptized, everybody's praying that all of the family members and the friends and everything will come that week to hear the hope of Jesus. And I know Megan was praying, and we were praying. And but don't stop. Like, don't. Well, I guess not. No, you got to keep praying. So what was it that compelled you to go, I'm going to church?
My nephew's baptism.
That was your nephew.
Well,
so
like, okay. I was supposed to come for candlelight service. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then my youngest got sick. And I said, I haven't slept all night. I'm not going. I look back at that now and I'm like, oh, if that was this week, I probably would still be here. He'd be fine. So I look back even a year ago, and it was an excuse that I was making to not walk through the doors. And I felt like, oh, I wasn't ready. It's not God's timing. That wasn't it. So my first Sunday was Celebration Sunday last year when my nephew got baptized.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you've been coming almost every Sunday.
Almost every Sunday, unless I wasn't here. Out of town, sorry, out of town. Unless I wasn't,
That's so good. So now, because of my relationship with Megan being a part of our staff, I have a front row seat with all this and watching the transformation in your life. Can you put into words at all for us what 2025 has been for you compared to the 2020s without God? And now you have God in your life. Can you express what that is to you and give us a picture of that? It's okay.
I don't know where me or my family would be if I hadn't walked back through those doors. 2025 was a blessing and the hardest year that we've walked through so far as a family.
So for those of you that don't know, this is the weird thing is when you place your faith in Jesus and you've gone away from the Lord, and there are a lot of things involved in that through your teenage years, and you're like, I'm just going to push the church away, push God away. I don't need this in my life. So those of you that don't know, her daughter gave birth to twins this year, which was beautiful. But one of those twins is in heaven, fighting 5 months in the hospital, chemo, doctor saying not going to make it, seeing the light. And cancer took her. And that would be a moment where you could just go, no, I'm not doing this again. Could you try to express, like, how have you pressed? And this is pretty fresh, so it's okay if you can't. But how have you been able to press through that and stay close to God?
Believing that there's a reason that this is happening, praying. Every Sunday I was here since she was born, I have been up here with the prayer team praying constantly and believing that God didn't walk me back through these doors just to give up. Mm-hmm. There were days that I was so angry. I didn't have my family at home. They were in Houston for the last almost 4 months. We made so many trips back and forth. I felt like my life was interrupted. I felt like our life was interrupted. And another part of having your best friend live across the street from you is when in the moments that I didn't know what to do, what to even pray, I would go over there and we would pray and we would cry. And it gave me something to hold on to when I didn't know how. Mm. She gave me a borrowed faith until I knew I could stand on my own. And that turned into being able to pray with my family. Plant seeds that, so that day that Roman was here at Kids Fest, my daughter was also here and her husband volunteering. And I know that, those seeds have been planted for so long. And he's still working. It took me 4 years to walk back through these doors after she'd been praying for me. It took me 22 years to walk back through church doors. Mm. So I know it's in God's plan. I still don't understand why things are happening the way they are. And I think that's the hardest part, is not understanding. But I know that when I am questioning, I know that I can go to God with my anger and my frustration and my sadness and my happiness. Mm-hmm. Because right now my daughter and her son-in-law believe that Emmy is in heaven.
Yeah, amen.
So, and they believe that she's with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of these questions I get at, why? Why do things like this happen? Why do bad things happen to good families and good people? I could preach a whole sermon. I could do a conference. And your pain, it still would not satisfy. I don't know, some of you have deep wounds like that. I carry a deep wound, and many of you carry a deep wound that is unexplainable. All I know is that in the middle of all of that, you can blame God or you can choose to bless God. And here's what I mean by that, is David, I lean heavily on David because David, Bathsheba gave birth to a son and was sick for 7 days. And David prayed and wept and prayed and wept and prayed, and the baby still died. And the scriptures say that David got up, washed, and went and worshiped the Lord. Because the Lord is not the cause of all the brokenness in this world. We have to remember that. It's not the Lord who does these things. It's a broken world. This is not heaven. What I want for you, like, we're a week out from 2026. And don't we all go into 2026 and we think, this is the year, going to be great. I mean, I remember going into 2025 for me. I was like, this is it. This is the year. And man, it has been like a brutal year for me. I'm like, what is this? You're like, I come back to God. I give you my heart. I'm back. I'm involved. I love you. And this is what I get. By the way, I think it's amazing that you would say you were angry. That's a good emotion. That's a healthy emotion. That's an emotion given to us by God. And God's got some pretty big shoulders. And it's okay to let God know, this is how I'm feeling. But knowing that he is not the author of evil, he's not the author of the brokenness, he's the one who comes in to comfort. That's the story of Jesus. That's the Christmas season, entering into a broken world. When you lose that beautiful granddaughter and a mom loses a beautiful baby, that he sweeps in that moment and just says, in this world you will have trouble and trials and sorrow, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And it's through Jesus that we can rise above the pain and the brokenness. You're pretty brave for even sharing this morning. It's an honor, I think, for all of us to be invited into that story and for you to be that vulnerable. And it's amazing to see what Jesus is doing in your life. And Father, we just pray for Katie and her family. We pray for healing. We're asking for you to heal the soul, heal what we are unable to heal. But you say that Jesus came to heal by his wounds. We are healed by his stripes. We are healed. And I'm asking you, Father, would you heal their broken heart? Would you help them to rise from the ashes? God, I don't always understand, but we lean on the Word of God that tells us that you do bring beauty from ashes. You take the broken things and you make them into something beautiful. They're never the same. It can't ever be the same. But beauty can come from the ashes, and we look to you, Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you just give Katie some love? Thank her for sharing. Thank you, Katie. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.